Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm tired of it raining. I'm tired of the gray skies. I'm tired of having to wait on this damn hurricane. I'm tired of a lot of different things, but at least I got enough to eat. A lot of people can't say that. With that, we're joined by Natalie J. Rowe, who is the CEO of Second Harvest Food Bank, one of the organizations that does just so much good and in such an efficient manner. Good morning, Natalie. How are you?
I'm okay, Tommy. How are you?
And what I said by that is to put it in perspective, because I think a lot of times we don't realize, you know, and part of hurricanes preparation for a lot of people, and you see it on social media where they talk about hurricane snacks and this and that and the other thing, but for a lot of people, that's not the reality. And while some of us might get stuck at home where we don't feel like going to the store and we don't have this to eat or that to eat, we have the option of going to the store. And for a lot of people in the area, that is not an option, right?
You are so right. And as we know, because unfortunately we've been through this a few times, getting ready for a storm can be really, really expensive for families. This one came a little bit suddenly. So I think for folks, especially west of us in Lafayette, Morgan City, et cetera, they didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare. So we were glad to be able to help where we could.
What does that look like, Natalie, when a storm approaches and after that and so forth? What kind of challenges do you guys at Second Harvest face?
So the first thing we do when a storm approaches is we connect with the emergency management departments of all of our 23 South Louisiana parishes we serve, just to remind them we're here, let them know we've got snacks, we've got water. Water is something that people really, really need as they prepare, as we know, for a disaster. And then afterwards, that we have cleaning supplies available. Yesterday, we actually opened a distribution in our Lafayette warehouse and served more than 1,000 families that waited in line in their cars for food to prepare them for this storm coming in, because I think a few were caught unawares. We also work, you know, directly with cities and parish governments on things like the Rosenwald shelter that's opened for homeless folks, or some pods that Lafayette was opening up for homeless people. And we work with volunteers, so we fed some first responders last night, and we provided meals for the emergency shelter that Lafayette established.
Talk about volunteers, if you would, specifically, I guess, between now and the aftermath, because I don't know what it's going to look like after the storm is finished, power outages, and you mentioned about water distribution, et cetera, distribution pods. Are you in need of volunteers to staff that, Natalie?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for asking that question. Volunteers are our lifeline. In fact, we had 15 volunteers yesterday in from Entergy that helped us pack 261 boxes of shelf-stable meals. We will be open and running as soon as the conditions are safe for us to operate our trucks. We welcome volunteers. We will need your help for the foreseeable future. And as you know, we'll be here while the community recovers, so however long it takes.
I guess it depends on what kind of storm it is and what kind of damage is done. But historically, right. What kind of dent does a storm put in the budget? Because you guys, you know, you try to budget with donations and you have a need that is fixed. And then something like this happens and then the need goes up, which means something's got to be paid for in the back end, right?
You are absolutely right. And we are very, very thankful for the contributions that come in from the community, because that is always how we get through these disaster situations, because it does take us, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on top of the operating budget that we already have. And as you said, it depends on the level of devastation, because for us, an emergency could be a tornado touching down in a neighborhood, or saltwater intrusion, or a freeze, as well as these larger events like hurricanes like this one that could affect a good part of our southern coast. So we do rely on donations of money, where every dollar can feed a family of three, donations of food. A lot of folks host a food drive for us, and donations of your time, volunteering at the warehouse and volunteering with our distributions.
On a daily basis, talk about, if you will, Natalie, the volunteers that you need, the efforts that go into preparing meals, and how does something like this disrupt that?
So we use hundreds of volunteers every single day. We're providing, starting at 6 in the morning, we're providing meals for 5 of our councils on aging, our seniors. We also provide thousands of meals for our children for after-school programs. We have a program providing 22,000 boxes every month that have to be packed for our seniors across 23 parishes. So volunteers for us are the equivalent of another 30 full-time staff members on an annual basis.
Wow.
Thousands of volunteers, more than $1 million worth of additional labor, if you want to quantify it in terms. Volunteers for us we really are the place where the community comes together to make things happen. We're the conduit for the generosity of the community, and it does take volunteers to power everything that we do.
You know, I don't know if I was talking to you about this or somebody else at Second Harvest, but they made an excellent point about loneliness being a big problem in the United States and in certain areas, and sometimes an event like this can people make them feel like they really are alone. But volunteering is a great way to meet other people, is it not? I'm not saying you're running a singles bar over there, to be clear, Natalie. That's not the point I'm trying to make, but it is a good opportunity to kind of get out of the house.
You know, I love participating with our volunteer activities, because people come from all over the community. You could have students, you have retired bank presidents, you have corporate volunteers, you have sororities and fraternities coming in. It's just people from all over the community doing something together for the community. It's one of the most fun, just really great, energizing activities that I get the pleasure of being involved in. So, yeah, it's great to see volunteers. And then in some cases, we deliver food directly to people in their homes, and volunteers are the ones that do that as well. So for a senior who receives a box from us, that could be the one person that they see during the course of the day. And we know how important food is in South Louisiana, how we use it for fellowship, how we use it to show our caring for each other. So I think that resonates with our community as much as it does anywhere.
Tell me how people can volunteer, how they can get involved. And again, rather than buy a can of groceries, the money's going to go a lot farther, further. You pick one. I don't know if it's proper. But either way, the donation is going to go a lot, buy more food than going to the store yourself, correct?
Absolutely. Thanks so much. If you will go on to our website at no-hunger.org, that's the best way. You can sign up for a volunteer shift right on our website. It shows you ways to donate and other ways to get involved with us. So our website is the best, no-hunger.org.
The only thing I can tell people is check them out with every vetting organization you want. You guys do great work, Second Harvest Food Bank. Thank you, Natalie. Stay safe.
Thank you. Thanks to the community for all their generosity.
You bet. We'll take a no, not taking a break. We're going to go to Brooke Laser now.
Hey,
WWL.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, If you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Louisiana meteorologist, I get that right?
Yeah, hey, that was perfect.
Brooke said yesterday that she grew up listening to me, which is impossible because I'm younger than she is, but that's one of those time-space things like a three-body problem. Have you seen that on Netflix?
Oh, I have not, but I will be staying tuned for your 30th birthday plans.
Thank you. Are you a science fiction gal or not?
I am. I should read more than I do.
Well, don't forget
but
that.
But we can watch it on Netflix.
Watch it on Netflix. That's right. It's better than that because it's like a book with pictures. It's amazing. It really is. Let's talk about the latest advisory that's going to come, or the newest one that's going to come out at 10 o'clock, the Hurricane Hunter. Take me through this, if you would, Brooke, about at what point do the hurricane hunters say, okay, it's close enough to land where we can, to landfall rather, where we can track this on radar?
You know, that's a great question. And Tommy, from my understanding, they cannot fly over the storm once it has made landfall.
Okay.
So they'll go in and out as close to landfall as they can without intersecting the coast. And our definition on landfall is when the center of the storm intersects land itself. So that's a few hours away at this point, not until about 5 to 7 o'clock later on tonight, which sounds like a long time, but you think about this moving at 12 miles an hour, which in a car would take you quite some time. So we're going to be staying tuned. But the process is interesting. They get up there, they fly around, they drop zones, which basically fall into the Gulf and then send back a signal that measures the pressure of the storm. That's how we then get all the information we're delivering to you all, because they relay it to the National Hurricane Center, and the Hurricane Center decides which advisories to then put into effect and which warnings to issue as well. So we'll be looking for that coming up here in just under an hour.
I did see you on TV a couple of minutes ago, and you're at the top of the hour, and you were talking about some 70 mile an hour winds. Take me through that and what the metropolitan area here can experience, time frame, and what kind of sustained winds, what kind of gusts we can look forward to, or dread, either way.
Yeah, one or the other. So we're going to start, of course, seeing the first impacts along our coastline, and that could be as soon as noon, which is why time frame wise we've been saying try and get into your safe place or where you're going to ride at the storm by noon if you can. Of course, the further south you are, the sooner that time frame moves up. Once we get to the 4 p.m. hour, that's when we'll start to see winds pick up in New Orleans proper and the metro area. So for New Orleans, we're anticipating sustained winds to be tropical storm force, somewhere between 30 and 40 miles an hour, gusting into the 50 to 70 mile per hour range. And the future cast is actually showing a couple spots like LaPlace, even the downtown area, seeing somewhere between 50 and 60, maybe even on that higher end as we get later into the evening. And the thing is, once the sun goes down, it makes it a little bit more dangerous in that we've got, of course, darkness across the area, and it's tough to see wind debris flying or flood water. So you always have to think about that. It takes me back to Ida. Ida was such a scary 3-week period of darkness when the sun went down, if you were here on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And this is not going to be that. So thankfully, like we were talking about earlier, Tommy, basically, as long as you are in your safe place, hopefully these impacts will be relatively minimal, and the biggest inconvenience will be the loss of power.
So starting around 4 o'clock, that's when we're going to start to feel 30 or 40 mile an hour winds in the metro area. Accurate around there?
Yes, that's okay. Exactly right.
And last until?
Probably 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. as a range of time, and then into the overnight starting to die down. On the North Shore, you're going to start to see those winds picking up more like 7 to 9 o'clock and then lasting into the overnight period as well. So biggest concern for the North Shore is just those pine trees. They always worry me, especially if you happen to be in a house that's surrounded by a few.
With the ground wet already, we talked to Mike Cooper about that earlier. Thank you.
Yes.
Appreciate your time and your effort. Brooke Glazer, WWR Louisiana meteorologist. We'll take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk to John Rahm, Director of Homeland Security for St. Bernard Parish, when we return on WWL. 9:30, Newell Normand has joined us. Happy anniversary, by the way. Today is Newell's 7th anniversary of being with WWL. Time flies, man.
Seventh anniversary of being on air today.
I had no earthly idea it had been that long.
I totally had forgotten. Just the day before yesterday, I was like, wait a minute, I think it's my 7th anniversary.
I do remember you starting on September the 11th, now that you mention it, though, I do. We're joined now by John Rahm, the Director of Homeland Security for St. Bernard Parish. John, you're on WWL with Tommy Tucker and Newell Normand. How are you, and how's everything in St. Bernard Parish?
Oh, we're doing well down here, guys. Thanks for having us on. Hope you guys are doing safe and having a great day out there. We're just sitting back like everybody else, watching and waiting. We've got our parish essential workers out there going through the parish, making sure the drains are clean. We've asked residents to pick up. So we're just sitting back and waiting now, hoping that the worst of it doesn't come here, but you never know.
When it comes to rain or storm surge, what's your biggest concern there, John?
Well, for the storm surge, it's outside the levee protection system down in Lower St. Bernard, Shell Beach, White Klosky, Hopedale. Mm-hmm. That's where, you know, with a good east wind for a couple of days, we have water coming over the road. But with the circulation from the southeast and the storm coming in the way it is, we expect, you know, flooding about 3 to 5 foot above ground level, which is just not as bad as it could be, but it's enough to make people take heed. As far as inside the system, you get more than a couple inches of rain the first hour, you're in trouble. But after a while, the pumps will catch up, and all our pumps are 100% operational throughout the parish. We got a cruiser out there manning the pumps, so we're just waiting to see how much rain we get. We will have normal street flooding in the places that normally flood during heavy rain, so we're aware of that. The sheriff's office is ready to go with barricades to be put out in case we do have some closed roads. So I think we're about as prepared as we can be today.
When it comes to the east or west bank, I guess the major concern with storm surge would be east bank? West Bank. I beg your pardon. I said it backward. It'd be West Bank, right?
We have nobody on the West Bank. We're strictly East Bank. Plaquemines has East and West Bank of the river, but St. Bernard is East Bank only from Orleans Parish down to Plaquemines Parish and East.
Okay, so what about power outages and Entergy, and what are you hearing from them with trees and all that kind of stuff? What's your bigger concern, I guess, what I'm wondering, John?
They came in after Zeta several years ago. That storm took out a lot of infrastructure, which was old, aged infrastructure. They replaced a lot of utility poles and put in some backup power systems for redundancy. They're currently working on a major improvement down on Florestown Highway, so that's almost complete with. If the wind picks up enough, we have a lot of high winds. We may have some trees down. It may cause some power outages with down lines and down transformers and such. But Entergy, you know, they've got about 5,000 linemen in the area for different duties. We've been in regular contact with our Entergy contact people, and they've assured us they're here, ready to help. And we've got one of the best Entergy teams in the state, I believe, down here in this area.
John, this is Newell. A lot of times the tides don't work to your favor. It seems as though this time it has, as well as prevailing winds in the days in advance of the storm. Usually you're facing a lot of southeast winds that are creating issues for you. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that hasn't been the situation this time, right?
Not as of yet, sir. In fact, right now the water's still pretty good down there. We haven't seen any encroachment on the highways yet. We have people monitoring that. We've got one fire station down in White Klosky area. one down at 12 to keep an eye out. We also have cameras in those areas to watch the water rising. But so far, we're doing well. And as you said, right now, the way the winds are blowing, and if this thing does hit land and take the little westerly turn, we will make out pretty good for this hurricane. But that's all subject to change, as we well know.
All right, John, anything you want people of St. Bernard to know before we let you go?
No, like, you know, we've told them before, just be prepared. Take care of your family and friends and your neighbors. I'm sure somebody on your street needs some help doing something. Because we're all one big family down here in the parish, so we got to look out for each other. But yeah, thanks for having us on. I'll be safe.
Thank you, sir. You too. You know the number. You're always welcome whenever you want to call. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Ghassan Corban, Executive Director of the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board. One thing Newell's got my attention are these quarters of rain, I think they talk about it, and it depends on what band goes where. 9:35 traffic now, WWL. 9:40, 20 till 10, Tommy Tucker, along with Newell Normand, who has joined us, and he'll be with you from 10 until 2, I think it is, as we continue to watch and wait for Hurricane Francine. Ghassan Corban joins us now, Executive Director of the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board. How you doing, Ghassan?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
Thanks. You're on with Newell and Tommy. Thanks for taking the time. What? Tell me the situation, I guess, first with pumps and power, and we always have to do a little kind of sewage and water board 101 because the turbines are powered. The turbines power the pumps and the which generate the electricity, right? And then the turbines are powered by generators. Diesel, accurate or not?
Well, the turbines are the actual generators. They generate the power. So we do have a fairly complex system, and maybe I should take a minute here and maybe break it up a little bit. So the old part of the city, basically from west to the industrial canal, that's what we call the old city. Mm-hmm. Those pumping stations in that area are driven by self-generation power that we control. We have turbines at our plant that produce power that are able to drive these pumps.
Well, what drives the turbine?
Anything,
Ghassan? I'm just
the turbine is actually the generator. It's either a steam, the steam that we produce actually generates the power that we need.
Gotcha.
It's runs either on gas or diesel.
Okay.
So that's basically like you turning your own backup generator at home to generate enough power to sustain you during an outage. So this is the same thing, but in our case, it's a more permanent setup where these generators or / turbines produce the power we need to power all the pumps in the old city.
Okay.
East of the industrial canal, the old, you know, basically New Orleans East, these pumping stations basically are directly connected to energy power. And then in each of those situations or these stations, we have backup generators, just basically larger generators that run on diesel that would back up that operation during an outage from energy. Similarly, Algiers in the West Bank is the same setup where we're directly connected to energy. They're our source of power. But in case of an outage, we have backup power. So when we talk about our pumps, we have 99 pumps that we talk about. And there's some nuances, and I'll go into it in a second. But we have 90 of those 99 pumps are working throughout the entire city. In terms of power generation and what we need to power the old city, we have 70 megawatts, which is more than enough to run each and every pump that we need to run during the upcoming event. So we stand in a very, very good position. We have redundancy, albeit old equipment, fragile and all that, but because of the redundancy, we are fairly confident that, you know, we'll have enough power and we can also respond to some failure in case one goes down, we'll be able to redundantly substitute that power. So we're in good shape. We have been lowering. I mean, is this good, or can I maybe give you more updates on rest of the
Absolutely.
Situation
sure.
preparation?
Yeah.
So obviously, one of the key things we do is we coordinate with Entergy for obvious reasons. They know all of our assets, where they are. that we are on the, you know, top of the list in terms of respond and restoration, restoring power for anything, you know, pertaining to, you know, again, all the stations that rely on them. We work closely with the levee district in terms of any surges, any coordination we need to do with our pumping versus with their pumping. We don't believe that that's going to be needed during this event. We also pump down all our canals to create more capacity, and we've done that, and obviously it's been raining a little bit, so we're keeping up very, very well. There's been some confusion just this morning about one of our stations, and maybe just briefly, again, you know, it's very complex, but we have 24 stations across the city. Predominantly all of them, we call them drainage stations, and each of them virtually have a one or multiple what we call constant duty pumps. These are dry weather pumps. They just pump groundwater, just stabilize the groundwater level around the facilities. And those do not count typically as drainage pumps. We exclude them. There's about 21 of them. There's an exception when it comes to DPS 17. We also call it Station D. That's the only station that has two pumps that are dry weather pumps. So those are down, but those really do not impact our ability to manage rain events, because the water that falls in that area through gravity goes directly to DPS 19, which is further to the east, and that pumps all the runoff into the industrial canal. So there was some confusion earlier in the media about, oh, the whole station is down, which is true, but it's really not impacting our ability to manage the storm. And ultimately, we may remove those two out of our 99 number just to remove any confusion in the future.
What kind of outage from Entergy could gum all of this up, from what I'm trying to understand, Ghassan?
So it depends on where they happen, whether it's an area outage and the duration. I mean, Ida taught us, obviously, a big lesson in terms of, you know, anything beyond a day or two, then we have a big challenge with our sewer pumping stations. We have 84 throughout the city. They all rely, obviously, on power. They're all directly connected or rely on energy power. A handful of those, very critical and strategically selected, have a backup, but the majority do not. And some don't even have the ability to easily connect a generator. So what we will have is a roving fleet of generators that we'll have to put our hands on, because those typically, during a storm like this or event like that, they don't come in. They don't come by very easily. So we're working very hard on making sure we have access to some in case we have a lingering outage. The other issue we may have is that, you know, if we lose our power for a certain station, and then our backup generator works for a minute, and then maybe it stops, and then we have no power whatsoever. That's a scenario that, you know, I always worry about. But, you know, we've tested all our generators. They're all functioning. There were two that gave us some concern. So we have two temporary generators to support those. So all in all.
9:40, 20 till 10, Tommy Tucker, along with Newell Normand, who has joined us, and he'll be with you from 10 until 2, I think it is, as we continue to watch and wait for Hurricane Francine. Ghassan Korban joins us now, Executive Director of the New Orleans Surge and Water Board. How are you doing, Ghassan?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
Thanks. You're on with Newell and Tommy. Thanks for taking the time. What, tell me the situation, I guess, first with pumps and power, and we always have to do a little kind of Surge and Water Board 101, because the turbines are powered, the turbines power the pumps, and the which generate the electricity, right? And then the turbines are powered by generators, diesel, accurate or not?
Well, the turbines are the actual generators. They generate the the power. So we do have a fairly complex system, and maybe I should take a minute here and maybe break it up a little bit. So the old part of the city, basically from west to the industrial canal, that's what we call the old city. Mm-hmm. Those pumping stations in that area are driven by self-generation power that we control. We have turbines at our plant that produce power that are able to drive these pumps.
But what drives the turbine?
Anything,
Ghassan? I'm just
the turbine is actually the generator. It's either a steam, the steam that we produce actually generates the power that we need.
Gotcha.
It runs either on gas or diesel.
Okay.
So that's basically like you turning your own backup generator at home to generate enough power to sustain you during an outage. So this is the same thing, but in our case, it's a more permanent setup where these generators or / turbines produce the power we need to power all the pumps in the old city.
Okay.
East of the industrial canal, the old, basically Nuon's east, these pumping stations basically are directly connected to energy power. And then in each of those situations or these stations, we have backup generators, just basically larger generators that run on diesel that would back up that operation during an outage from energy. Similarly, Algiers in the West Bank is the same setup where we're directly connected to energy. They're our source of power. But in case of an outage, we have backup power. So when we talk about our pumps, we have 99 pumps that we talk about. And there's some nuances, and I'll go into it in a second. But we have 90 of those 99 pumps are working throughout the entire city. In terms of power generation and what we need to power the old city, we have 70 megawatts, which is more than enough to run each and every pump that we need to run during the upcoming event. So we stand in a very, very good position. We have redundancy, albeit old equipment, fragile and all that, but because of the redundancy, we are fairly confident that, we'll have enough power, and we can also respond to some failure in case one goes down, we'll be able to redundantly substitute that power. So we're in good shape. We have been lowering. I mean, is this good, or can I maybe give you more updates on rest of the
Absolutely.
Situation
sure.
preparation?
Yeah.
So obviously, one of the key things we do is we coordinate with Entergy for obvious reasons. They know all of our assets, where they are. That we are on the top of the list in terms of respond and restoration, restoring power for anything pertaining to again all the stations that rely on them. We work closely with the levee district in terms of any surges, any coordination we need to do with our pumping versus with their pumping. We don't believe that that's going to be needed during this event. We also pump down all our canals to create more capacity. We've done that, and obviously it's been raining a little bit, so we're keeping up very, very well. There's been some confusion just this morning about one of our stations, and maybe just briefly, again, it's very complex, but we have 24 stations across the city. Predominantly all of them, we call them drainage stations, and each of them virtually have a one or multiple what we call constant duty pumps. These are dry weather pumps. They just pump groundwater, just stabilize the groundwater level around the facilities. And those do not count typically as drainage pumps. We exclude them. There's about 21 of them. There's an exception when it comes to DPS 17. We also call it Station D. That's the only station that has two pumps that are dry weather pumps. So those are down, but those really do not impact our ability to manage rain events, because the water that falls in that area through gravity goes directly to DPS 19, which is further to the east, and that pumps all the runoff into the industrial canal. So there was some confusion earlier in the media about, oh, the whole station is down, which is true, but it's really not impacting our ability to manage the storm. And ultimately, we may remove those two out of our 99 number just to remove any confusion in the future.
What kind of outage from Entergy could gum all of this up, from what I'm trying to understand, Ghassan?
So it depends on where they happen, whether it's an area outage and the duration. I mean, Ida taught us, obviously, a big lesson in terms of, you know, anything beyond a day or two, then we have a big challenge with our sewer pumping stations. We have 84 throughout the city. They all rely, obviously, on power. They're all directly connected or rely on energy power. A handful of those, very critical and strategically selected, have a backup, but the majority do not. And some don't even have the ability to easily connect a generator. So what we will have is a roving fleet of generators that we'll have to put our hands on, because those typically during a storm like this or event like that, they don't come by very easily. So we're working very hard on making sure we have access to some in case we have a lingering outage. The other issue we may have is that, you know, if we lose our power for a certain station and then our backup generator works for a minute and then maybe it stops and then we have no power whatsoever. That's a scenario that, you know, I always worry about. But, you know, we've tested all our generators. They're all functioning. There were two that gave us some concern. So we have two temporary generators to support those. So all in all, I believe we're in a good standing and we're ready for this event. You know, we're obviously preparing for the worst and hoping for the best.
This really is, I guess, insignificant as it relates to Francine. But one thing I've always wondered is I see the surge in water board and a generator at this. Is it a lift station on Woodland Highway? What is that about?
Well, not precisely sure, but we have a lot of pumping stations throughout. And then if maybe for some reason there's an outage and we do have a generator that is running it.
It's always there. That's why I was wondering. I was just curious about that.
Is it always there and running?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know, Ghassan. I was asking you.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, yeah, I'll have to check. I mean, typically we don't rely on a generator to run a pumping station. They're connected to energy
power. It's a lift station or what it is. I didn't know what it was. I was just curious. Hey, let me ask you.
It is a lift station. But again, you know, I thought you're concerned about why it's running on a generator.
Well, it was, but I don't know if that's the way it's set up permanently.
Yeah, I'll have to double check on that before
I
answer that.
And again, that's insignificant as it relates to this, but I just always see it. So when they talk about these quarters of rain, I think they referred to them as, what kind of rainfall, as far as you know, are you anticipating right now the city getting?
Well, what we're hearing is that we're going to have an intense rain on the front end of it in the evening, anywhere between 4 to 6, maybe as high as 8, sporadic. I mean, the one thing that we're hearing and we're appreciating that it's a fast moving, so which is always good. You know, the worst storms are the ones that hover over you and dump, you know, 10, 12 inches of rain. And so I have concerns, obviously, about keeping up with that intensity. But at the same time, you know, because...
Ghassan? Apparently lost connection. That's all right. I think we got most of the information from him, Newell. When it comes to the Department of Public Works and the... Ghassan is back. Okay. Ghassan, the other question I want to ask you was about catch basin cleaning, coordination with Department of Public Works, et cetera, and gutter buddies. I know that's more of a Department of Public Works thing.
Yeah, it's definitely currently it remains in within the public works purview. They have been out, understand, with multiple crews cleaning the susceptible ones that are known to be problems for them. I don't believe there's any gutter buddies that are being utilized anywhere. There may be some construction site here and there that is protecting the system from, you know, debris and silt and what have you, but those would be very few and far between. But all in all, I think DPW has been out clearing as many of those as possible.
Okay, Ghassan, and for people that are wondering about different areas of the city, whether the pumps are on, whether the pumps are off, what you can tell them is, as it stands now, you got 99 pumps, 90 of them are working, and you are with 70 megawatts. I'm trying to tie all of this together before we go with all of this complicated right. thing together. Scale of 1 to 10 to make it as simple as we possibly can. How confident are you, excluding 10 inches of rainfall or anything like that, that the system's going to function properly?
Well, you know, barring no breakdowns of equipment, I am at the 7 or 8, to be honest with you. I'm fairly confident. The team sounds very confident. They've been preparing. They continue to tweak. So we're really feeling very good about our position. Obviously, you know, we're not excited about a hurricane hitting us, but we're certainly feeling good about managing whatever comes our way.
I thank you, Ghassan. We'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure. Ghassan Korban, Executive Director of the Sewerage and Water Board, 7 or 8, presuming nothing breaks down, everything goes like it's supposed to, 9:53, 7 until 10. The latest advisory is out. We'll give you the latest when we come back on WWL.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.